I stumble into a heaving Saturday night at Brown's on exactly 0 hours of sleep. As I walk into the claustrophobic changing room and wedge myself in between two bickering Romanians alongside piles of cosmetic, hair extensions, lingerie, I look into the mirror and see the full effect of my 24-hour party adventure. I've lost an eyelash strip, my makeup has that walk of shame sheen, and I feel like absolute fucking death. Slipping into my less than fresh costume for the night, after a quick baby wipe wash along the gusset, I drag myself onto the floor, expecting nothing. When the barrister, an old regular, makes a beeline for me. He is completely unbothered by the absolute shambles of my presentation, and in the space of 5 minutes, he's given me £1,000 in cash, after a single dance, thanked me profusely, and said he'd see me next week. This was one of my best shifts of my career, and one of the best lessons I ever learned as a stripper. Men are literally just happy to see you naked.
Hi, Heaven.
Hello, Buffy.
How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm great. So I just thought, you know, we would do a little intro into our body confidence episode.
With the body mishap?
Yeah, I mean, obviously. I think that's really the best way to go, personally, don't you?
I do. I think we're queen of the mishaps.
So, we really are. As the only thing I can see right now of you is your eyebrows.
Hey, don't say it in that tone. They look fine now. Time has passed.
Tell us about your eyebrows.
So it's been about 9 years now.
Yeah.
But basically 9 years ago, I don't know if you guys know, well, yeah, you must have noticed that on Instagram, eyebrow tattooing became like quite a trend. It was quite a fad at one point.
It was a thing.
It was a proper thing. And now I think it's all about
microblading,
yeah. Right? Which is a completely different thing. But back in the day, 9 years ago, it was about tattooing with the tattoo gun. It was hardcore. So anyway, I had been at a photo shoot with this girl and I just noticed she had really nice eyebrows. Uh-huh. And she was from up north. And I asked her, oh, where did you get your eyebrows from? As you do.
Where'd you buy those?
Where'd you get those eyebrows?
Do they stick on or are they permanent?
And she told me that her friend had tattooed them on for her, which is what I suspected. So anyway, she gave me the details of this woman. This woman lived up in Manchester and she had her own little salon. It was really just like a back room in an office building.
Cool.
So anyway, I got
this fills you with confidence, yeah. Doesn't it? Back room in an office for permanent work.
All the way to Manchester. Being that I live in London, it was a long ride. And I endured about 2.5 hours of white hot pain. Mm-hmm. As she tattooed my forehead. I asked her, because my eyebrows are quite flat, I asked her to give me a bit of an arch.
Oh.
So she actually didn't even stay within my own. I mean, she should have stopped me there and said, well, actually, that's not what we
are
do.
Are you sure,
we
love? Don't,
we're not going to draw on your forehead where you don't have eyebrow, because that will look really weird. But
I don't
anyway,
know.
She went ahead.
Customer's always right.
Yeah, customer's always right. So anyway, she continues and she draws my eyebrows in a really nice arch, not true to my natural flat brow.
Cool.
So when she finally finishes and hands me the mirror, I look at myself and I have a bright red forehead. I look really angry. My brow has swollen up, so I look kind of Neanderthal-like, which wasn't great. And they were like black. I mean, they were so dark and I did have dyed dark hair, but I'm a fair haired person naturally.
Yeah.
So my eyebrow hair was quite fair. I'm
no longer.
I'm presuming she should have just gone along with that and done like a fair sort of tattoo. I mean, she just shouldn't have done it point blank.
It doesn't sound like she was the best.
And she had that sort of look in her eye of like,
I fucked this one up.
Oh. And you know when you can tell someone has that look in your eye and they've done something permanent to you? I mean, I've had this happen quite a few times to me. Most people don't endure this.
That's a look I've never seen, I have to say.
It's a look I've seen a few times, unfortunately.
That's not a look I ever want to see.
I'm pretty heavily tattooed, and I've been tattooed by some interesting people. One of them's my sister. But yeah, so this woman had that look in her eyes. And anyway, my time was up. I'd finished. She put some Sudocrem on it or whatever the hell.
Of course, yeah. Shiny.
And I sat on the train back to London, and I had about 2.5-3 hours to sit and think about what I'd done.
What went through one's head?
Well, I couldn't quite liken myself to anything until I got home and I opened the door. My brother was there. He went, "What have you done? You look like Spock." And then I realized, I look like Spock. That's who I needed to liken myself. So I spent the next 9 years up until now just having shit eyebrows, and it hasn't really changed. No, they've actually faded. They faded.
I met you, they were kind of mauve.
Yeah, they were an interesting aubergine.
aubergine. Eggplant brows.
Yeah, so I was sporting some nice eggplant brows for a while, but they've now gone to like a light red. I want to say a
henna.
Squirrel red.
Yeah.
Squirrel red.
You are a bit squirrely.
Squirrel.
But what I'm going to say is, haven't still made a lot of money. So body confidence.
Yeah.
You can tattoo your face and look like fucking Spock.
Yeah.
And still smash it at the club.
Own it.
Stay tuned as we continue to talk about all the ways that you can just smash it at the club and not be perfect. Obviously, there is this kind of whole thing about body image for young women, for young girls, especially in the industry that we have worked in for many years. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of fallacies in there. So there's a lot of fallacies that, you know, people are only interested in young sex workers, which is very untrue.
That's true.
I have found as I've gotten older, I've just gotten hotter.
Yep.
How do you feel?
I mean, I feel hotter for sure in myself. I don't know on a physical level or not. I don't know whether
you're necessarily... You're always gorgeous.
True. Oh, thank you. But I also feel like, well, I don't want to judge myself on a physical level too much anymore anyways. But in myself, I definitely feel hotter. I mean, I feel like more of a sexual being.
Yeah. And also, I feel like when you're in your 20s, like you're still at a place where you're discovering what your sexuality is.
Yeah.
Discovering what you like, what you dislike.
I only learned to squirt like 2 years ago.
Really?
3 years ago. Yeah. No, it would be 3 years ago now.
What? That was 3 years ago when you learned how to squirt.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I'm going to have a word with all your ex-boyfriends. I think I need a conversation with these people.
Yeah. No, I taught myself. I taught myself from looking at it on Google. Like, you know, have you seen those pages on Google that are just like how to literally everything?
What, like Wiki?
Yeah, it's like that. And it was like how to squirt, like Wiki. It was so weird. I was like, oh, I didn't realize that was a thing.
Wiki has a how to squirt page.
I'm pretty sure it does. Yeah. Huh. It was a page like that where it was just very factual, very like steps 1, 2, 3. And so I followed all the steps one night after work. I was kind of horny and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
So you wouldn't have done that at 19?
No, I wouldn't. I mean, I barely even came at 19. It's just like, it's one of those things that the older I get, the more intense my orgasms become, the more I can orgasm, the better sex is. It's just like, it's ongoing. This evolution of my vagina and everything that involves my sex organs is fucking amazing. Yeah. But it does, yeah, it does just seem to be flowering.
Are you flowering?
Flowering the older I get. So.
That's nice.
I fucking love it.
I'm really happy for you. That's what a birthday treat. You're just flowering into your sexuality.
Flowering fine.
I mean, yeah, flowering. It's good. It's good.
I do. Be my bio on Instagram now.
I think it should be.
Flowering. She flowers and she fannies.
I mean, that would be a really, do you think that would work in the club? Would you like to come and see my flowering fanny?
I mean, I've called it worse things, so yeah.
Like what?
I mean, I've had worse one-liners.
Like what?
Well,
give me some one-liners.
I've told you before.
Tell me again.
Well, there's the, would you like to see my arsehole, which is always a great conversation starter. You know, you don't even have to be in a strip club.
Do you whisper that? Or is it just like, do you just go, would you like to see my arsehole?
I shout it in their face, full volume.
I mean, you're quite small, so I sort of have this image of you like looking upwards very aggressively, shouting about your asshole.
Would you like to see my asshole, sir?
Spit like
Oliver Twist.
Yeah.
It's nice and small.
Please, sir.
I'm not a chimney sweep, Jesus.
I mean, depends on the day, to be fair. How much fake tan you've used. You can definitely.
And that stupid hat, I suppose.
I mean, you look a bit chimney sweepish today.
Thanks. Oh my God, very nice jumper, actually.
You've not taken off in weeks.
Shut up. It's not washable. Oh, it's one of those like 100% wool things.
It's just what you need, non-washable items. Fucking hell. There's a new excuse. So, would you like to see my asshole? What else?
And then there's, you know, I think I've said this on the podcast
before. Don't care. Say again.
Would you like to see my tiny, tiny... tiny vagina. And then they're always like, oh, yeah. Like, why would they not want to? And then I get it out and it's like, surprise! It's actually kind of big. Not that small after all.
It's not that big.
It's not that big, but it's like,
do you remember when you sent me that naked picture of yourself and I was like, where's your clit? You said I airbrushed it out.
I thought we were supposed to be talking about body image here, not about me airbrushing my clit out.
But it's really funny. Sorry, okay.
Well, I'm accepting of my big clit. I've come to terms with it.
So you wouldn't airbrush it anymore?
I wouldn't airbrush it anymore. No.
No. That's
I'm
good.
Pretty cool with my clit now. And actually, and vagina hair too, as we were talking
about.
Yeah,
yeah. You've gone bushy.
Full bush. And it's great.
You're just a new you.
Much.
It's good. I don't know what I'm going to do for my 40th, but I'll think of something. I can't think of it now.
Why don't you just grow your arsehole hair? Like the old days? Business up front, party in the back.
I mean, there'd be no party in the back. I mean,
hairy
party.
A hairy party.
Hairy asshole
party. Hairy party.
Maybe I will. Maybe I will. I'll show it to you. That sounds good. I mean, okay. So I'm sort of also thinking about the women that we have worked with in the past in the clubs who were like pushing 50.
Yeah. No, we've met some ladies when we were working in America.
Yeah, in Vegas.
There was that one who we called Beauty Queen. I'm sure that wasn't actually her name, or was it?
No, her name, what, state, just age, beauty queen.
I've heard all kinds of names.
Spanky.
Like, it wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, that girl Spanky who got really pissed off when I laughed at her name.
It's
but it's
silly.
Like, don't call yourself Spanky, babes, and expect everyone to have a straight face.
I think you have to have that with a smile.
Yeah.
Spanky with a smile. But the beauty queen, I think her name was just like Lauren or
right.
something. It was just like something really like beauty queen vibes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
the
yeah.
most popular prom queen at school. Homecoming queen. That's what she looked
she
like.
She didn't have a tiara.
She should have.
She basically had like a, yeah.
She always wore like this red sparkly dress and she had those like neon veneers that were like, they would like shine in the black light.
Yes.
And she would just come onto the floor and it was like the concentration she had. She would just like look around, stand there looking around for that one guy and then just like make a move on him. And she would always get him up into the VIP. Like always.
Yeah,
and so it was her self-assuredness
mm-hmm.
that I think put people at ease.
Yeah.
And they just immediately gave her all their money.
It's kind of like if you do anything with confidence, people will accept it.
It's true. Like I often pretend I work places because I just want people to get away from me. So I'm just like, you can't stand there. And they're like, oh, I'm sorry.
You pretend to be security.
Not even that. I'm just like, oh, I'm sorry. You can't stand here right now. You're going to have to go sit over there. And then they just do. And they go away from me. And
yeah, that is very you thing.
You need to go away now. But she was amazing. And she had been working at Palomino for years.
years. How old was she? She was about mid.
She's 47.
Oh, she okay.
Yeah, we had a chat. We had a chat about it.
Yeah, no, she looked fabulous as well. She took great care of herself. And yeah, and her confidence like radiated out of her. So, I mean, that is just something that any maybe slightly lonely guy coming into a strip club and maybe they're kind of slightly
confidence
insecure,
is key.
And they want to latch on to something and be around something that is super confident. So,
and I feel like there's this thing where, you know, the obsession with youth, you know, the obsession with like everybody being like this young, pretty little thing. Like, mm-hmm. you know, of course, there is an aesthetic that people just want, like this pretty girl who's not going to say anything to you. They're not going to challenge you. You'll feel really smart because everything you say is like, oh, wow, I never heard that before, because they literally haven't. But there's also men who like maybe have daughters who don't particularly
want to
have like
a lap dance from their daughter's mate, essentially.
No.
Yeah.
No. It's... And then there's the guy who does want to get a lap dance from his daughter's mate. Which, you know, I mean, which I monetized on when I was an 18-year-old stripper.
Yeah, I totally did. But to be honest, I was quite a lazy stripper, I think, in my early to mid-20s because I relied so much on just being hot and young. And actually, it makes you lazy. Like, you don't.
You were very hot and young.
I was, but then I had to work, you know, extra hard the older that I've gotten. I've realized that I've had to work harder for my money. And actually, like, it's challenging and it's better. I would rather work harder for my money and use my brain a little bit more. So I don't know. You can rely on that a little too much, I think.
I think so as well. And so do you remember as well, there was, what was her name? She was like the 80s lady who had like been at Palomino forever.
She always wore bright white.
She always wore white. She always danced to like Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
And she'd work on the day shift. And she'd been
like
working.
A pleated skirt.
She wore a little pleated skirt and like leg warmers. Mm-hmm. And always had her hair sort of like, you know, frizzing out and everything like that. And she'd had no plastic surgery whatsoever. Like Beauty Queen had plastic surgery. But this woman had no work done whatsoever. She didn't do any kind of amazing makeup or, you know, I don't know, Croydon facelift where they sort of, you know, do the high ponytail or anything like that. You know, she was just like very natural woman in her late 50s. And she'd been working there for 25 years and she made her money and she was fine. Like, it wasn't like guys were sitting there going like, ew, grandma. There were like tons of guys who were like, woman who knows what she's doing.
Yeah,
I'm in.
Exactly.
And she was really
sweet. She didn't look out of place. She didn't seem out of place.
No. And I think this is the thing as well, is that you are sort of, my whole 20s of being a stripper, I was thinking, oh, I must finish this by the time I'm 30. Like, if I'm still stripping by the time I'm 30, this has like been a massive failure. I shouldn't still be doing sex work.
That's interesting how people pin 30.
30
is
number. Like the age.
I had it in my head too. Like, I definitely had it in my head that I wanted to only work until I was 30. And
I don't really know what that
why
is.
Why do we like, have that? Because it's like, we're just better.
You're just a better version of yourself.
We're just better.
And approaching 40... I have to
even
say,
better.
I am even better. Yeah. Like, I am way better. I do scare people.
I mean, men are terrified of you.
This is true.
But.
So I don't know if that is like better. I'm curious. I feel like if I went back into the strip club now, I would just like absolutely rinse it. But I might also just make everybody cry and make no money. I'm not sure. What do you think?
I think you could definitely make people cry, but I reckon you'd rinse them at the same time. I think
do
it's
they
a
like
whammy.
Sobbing as they hand me their money. Yeah. I like that.
Sand over their credit card.
I think that would be good.
No, I think that's your vibe. I think you need to go for that.
What, sob stealing?
Yeah, just making people cry. Hand over your wallet.
Making people cry since 1982.
Yeah. I remember this woman, Yolanda, who I used to work with, and I thought she must have been in her 50s until I noticed that she was pregnant. And then I was like, oh, I'm really confused now. But I think she was still just a much older mother.
You know that you can get pregnant in your 50s.
I mean, you can. No, that is a thing. But I just haven't really put the two together. But I think she was in her 50s.
How long did she work pregnant? I've known a lot of women who worked pregnant as well.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
People are into that. So, I mean, I guess the tie together here is what we're talking about. Guys are really happy just to look at naked ladies.
Yeah.
Like, they don't really give a fuck.
It doesn't matter how old you are, how pregnant you are, how hairy your asshole is.
I mean, I don't know. We haven't tried that theory fully. But I feel like, you know what? I think that, like, anything that's sort of out of the ordinary. Do you remember tan lines?
Yeah.
guys would love tan lines. Yeah, because it's like, oh, I'm seeing something I shouldn't see. Like, so I feel like maybe if I did grow out my asshole hair, I'd be like, wow, I'm really not supposed to see that.
Because
nobody's got that. So yeah, it's like all those kind of scars.
It's intimate, right?
It is.
Yeah, yeah, it's super intimate. And I find that with my vagina hair, since I've grown my vagina hair back, well, I never had it in the first place, but since I've grown it out, guys actually do comment on it. And they talk about it in a positive light.
Like what?
So they're just like, oh, wow, that's interesting. Like, I don't see that often. So
see, it's a talking piece. Like, I said this ages ago in season one.
Yeah.
Because I just have like, you know.
A landing strip.
No, but it's like it's like a triangle.
Yeah.
It's like a substantial triangle. Yeah. But I like shave under. Mm-hmm. So the undercarriage is shaved.
Undercarriage.
But the frontal view is like, you know, it's a nice little triangle. It's a talking piece.
Yeah. No, I think it is. Yeah. And guys find it. And actually, like, I think it's great because there's less friction, right? It like stops. I mean, it depends whether you're rubbing your vagina.
Friction on what?
I mean, I was thinking about in sex, so not necessarily in the club. But it's like, so I wonder whether
I was like, how vicious are your lap dances getting?
Like... I mean, depends what time in the evening.
Depends how drunk I am.
Depends how drunk I am. No, but I mean, I wonder whether guys in their head, they know that it's less friction and it's nicer to actually like fuck a vagina that's hairy as opposed to one that is completely bald. And so when they see a hairy vagina, they're like, ooh, and then little lights go off in their head.
Is that what you think happened? You made sort of like a little twinkling sound with your hand there. Like it was like ooh. Okay. Men, if you're listening, is that what you're thinking when you see? I mean, I also think that maybe they're just thinking, oh, grown up.
Like, yeah, that's also that. Yeah.
Not a child. Excellent. Can grow body hair. I think that is a positive situation.
Oh, yeah. I was talking about Yolanda and I sidetracked because I remembered that she got pregnant and she was in her 50s. And that's fine. That's cool. She had a baby. But before that, I always was sort of wondering how she managed to get guys into the private dance so quickly. So like no one will have made money and she'll always have someone in the private dance. And she used to just lean over and whisper into their ears. And I think she was doing that ASMR or NLP.
Yeah,
or
but see, this
like
is
that.
The thing. You can't lean into just being pretty, right? Yeah. So you've got to be other things as you get older.
And I have to say she wasn't, if I'm going to judge her. On her physicality, which I don't really want to do, but I'm gonna she was ugly.
But some of the biggest earners,
yeah, and she fucking smashed it because she used her technique because she knew she couldn't rely on her looks and she couldn't rely on being young because she wasn't young. So she went in on the technique and fucking made all the money in the club. So
yeah, see, I mean, this I think is like the biggest thing, and I saw a really interesting post on Twitter like a couple of months ago that was all from escorts talking about how everybody tells you that nobody's going to want to fuck you anymore when you become an older escort, and then actually my clients have gotten better, they pay more, they're more respectful, and I enjoy my job more now because I have more autonomy over my body. So I think also there is that thing where you just have better boundaries. You're able to state your needs. And this, you know, this follows you in the club and this also follows you in relationships. You know, you have a voice that you can say, this is how I like to be touched. This is what I like to, you know, how I like to be intimate with somebody.
Yeah.
Right. And when you're in your 20s and your teens, you don't have a voice yet.
God, I did so many like sympathy fucks. I used to do those.
Oh, yeah.
They're the worst. It's like, no, I don't feel sorry. I'm not going to fuck you because I feel sorry for you. Like now I don't want to do that, but I did so many of them back in the day.
What's because... so many?
Huh?
How many so many?
I don't know. I don't keep count because that's a terrible thing to remind myself of. I'm a massive hoe bag.
No, it's not. Be a bigger hoe. It's the only thing I wish that I had changed is I wish I had been a bigger hoe when
a
I was younger.
Hoe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, I wish I was an actual hoe. Like, I would maybe have more money now and that'd be nice.
Yeah, well, there's still time.
No, don't look at me like that.
There's always time.
Twinkle in her eye. Hey, I'm gonna pimp you out.
Why not? Well, you know, consensually.
Consensually pimp you out, yeah.
Always consenting. I mean, something that I also think about as well is like, you know, when you're younger, you're so hung up on like embarrassing things that you do or that, you know, like, oh, you know, that maybe you tripped over a little bit and everybody saw you, or you fucked up on stage, yeah. or, you know, whatever. I remember being at the Griffin years ago on Farringdon Road. And I was in the private dance area, and this other girl was in the private dance area dancing with me at the same time. And so we were both sort of doing our little sexy stage shows and things like that. And you know how the girls used to do that move where they like would like lift their leg up, kind of like a dog peeing on a fire hydrant? Yeah, like it's not actually the most glamorous move. Sexy, I don't quite know why people do it. It's basically just like when you're turning your body to the pole, ass back to client, and then they can just see everything. Yeah. So, you know, it's like, it's quite a practical move.
Yeah.
So she did this practical move, and then she did the extra, she went the extra mile. So she pulled her ass cheeks apart so he could like really see up there, and the music stopped for whatever reason, and she let out the biggest fart I have ever heard in my life, like right in this guy's face. Like it couldn't, I mean, he would have like seen her sphincter, like,
oh. Wow. Just if,
like everything, like you couldn't have a more scientific experience. Like,
not
of a fart.
Hear me fart, smell me fart, but also
see me, like
you see me fart. Yeah, the fart particles.
Yeah, it's not good. And she was like mortified. Right, she just looked like she absolutely wanted to fucking die. But the guy was like, again.
What more fart?
I mean, I think he just would have had anything. He was just like, okay. He just felt that he saw something super intimate that nobody else got to see. And like the
very
veneer. I mean, that's super personal. I used to just like fart and then walk away really quickly so that like nobody would know that it was me. But
I actually had a situation similar to that girl. So I do feel for her. But he didn't see me fart. It wasn't like he didn't see my sphincter.
So he couldn't prove it.
So he couldn't prove it. But there was only two of us in the room, and he knew damn well it was not him. So, and it wasn't really that it was a particularly loud fart, but it was a very smelly fart. It was like
silent and deadly.
It was like,
oh, see, when it's just you and the guy, and you just
can't. There's
you're just looking at them, and they're just looking at you.
And nobody carried on, bless him. And he was my regular for a really long time, and he didn't even mention it. He just like carried on having dances, and just like, he's such a sweetheart. He never would have said anything.
It's like, so his nose hair is burning off.
I'm going to do it again. No, I didn't do it again.
Sometimes you have no choice.
Sometimes you eat chickpeas.
Sometimes you eat chickpeas and the world is ruined. But so, I mean, even then, guys are like, I'll still pay you money.
I'm in.
So, you know, I hope that all these like little bits of information, if you're a woman or a younger woman who's sitting there going, oh, I've done some really embarrassing shit, I guarantee you that guy does not care.
No, they don't care. And men are disgusting as well. Let me just point out.
You're disgusting. I'm disgusting.
I'm disgusting, but I'm saying men are fucking even worse. They are disgusting. So, I mean, you just can't feel bad about ever being a little bit gross.
No. Yeah. And like when I was younger, I had, by the way, if you guys hear any like weird sounds outside, I think somebody's playing in some leaves.
Someone's rustling in the leaves.
Somebody's having a great time outside. So if you hear some strange rustling sounds, we apologize. But I remember when I was younger as well, just not really knowing the power of myself, the power of my femininity, you know, and so it was, you would sort of like lean into being really fast. We've spoken about before, like a new stripper is, you know, you move around so fast and all this kind of stuff, and really, ninja stripper. Mm-hmm. And so really, like, as you get more experience in the industry, because it's not really an age thing, it's just about like settling into your divine femininity, right? But it's true, is that you can just fucking stand there and people are going to pay attention to you. You know, you don't have to do so much. And like when I was
a woman just standing on stage, I'd be looking at her.
Having that power. And when I, you know, and we sort of spoken a little bit earlier about, you know, when girls are quite young, you sort of, you know, you're having these conversations, you don't really know what you're talking about yet, you don't really know how to engage somebody, really, you know, do they want to talk to somebody who looks like their daughter's friend? I don't know. So when you're a woman and you can hold that space in a different way, people are attracted to you in a different way. And you know, my whole physicality is, I've always looked like a woman, you know, even when I was 14, I looked like a woman. I didn't know what to do with that.
Yeah.
You know, and it was confusing for me when I was really young, because suddenly you have adult men who are paying attention to you and you're a child.
So you physically were a woman, but mentally you were a child.
I was a kid.
So it was unmatched.
And being a stripper actually gave me a lot of confidence about myself, you know, at a much younger age. I think I would have probably had a lot more hangups mm-hmm. a lot older had I not done the job. But I suddenly realized the power that I held. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my whole approach to everything when I danced and when I engaged with people was specifically to, you know, even I sort of had a moving language with people. So it wouldn't always just be that I would have these like deep conversations with somebody. People don't necessarily want that. They're fucking mm-hmm. high and drunk and, you know, the music's loud. They want to feel like they've been captured in a different way. Mm-hmm. And so I would really try and crawl inside their minds in a different way, where the way I move my hands, the way I would look at them, the moments, the beats and the music would all be the sort of freestyle choreographed moments that would make them feel seen. Mm-hmm. You know,
keeping them on the edge of their seats. I think you do a really good job at that on stage. And just by moving so incredibly slowly, but with such purpose.
And the older I got, just the better.
Yeah.
I got at that, where I could just really, I really, really refined the whole mm-hmm. process of having this sort of silent conversation with people to music. Mm-hmm. Basically, contemporary dancer.
And just imagine being 21 and trying to do that. I mean, I could barely look people in the eye when I was 21.
Yeah, you just don't have access in the same way.
Have that presence on stage. So, yeah, totally.
And how do you feel that your approach has changed as you've gotten older?
I definitely slowed down as well, like you, on stage. I mean, I was like super like tornado on stage before, like wah, wah. So I've definitely slowed down. I think that just in the way that I view my body now, my physical self is very different.
See, when I met you, you had no plastic surgery.
I hadn't had anything done.
Actually, no, you'd had your veneers done because you kept on having those little pirate teeth moments.
Oh, yeah. My veneer cap kept falling off. And I looked like some sort of creature. Yeah. No, I think...
You had no tattoos?
I had no tattoos. And actually, my tattoos, I don't think, are anything to do with, like, me wanting to necessarily look better or, like, a better version of myself. Whereas I think, like, when I attempted to get surgery, I had many fails. I think I was trying to make myself look better or be better. And I've kind of let go of that idea now of like trying to be better or look better. I think it hasn't actually served me in the past. And I now also don't really care that much. I think I'd just like to return to my natural-ish self. So I'm actually taking my implants out soon, which is going to be interesting.
Does that feel empowering? Does that feel exciting? How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, a part of it is just like, I don't want plastic in my body anymore. And also I can't get into certain yoga poses.
So it's a practical.
So it's practical in some senses.
I mean, as a naturally big-breasted woman, mm-hmm. I have to say, when I see people with like small tits, I just think, everything looks good on you. You know, things for me, like... I end up looking really slutty very quickly, like
which is not a bad thing.
I love a sluttiness, but you know, like sometimes you don't want that much attention. So where something could look like quite classic on a smaller busted person, mm-hmm. On me it's just like, whoa there, okay, so tits. And also lying on your front.
Yeah, I mean, I can't lie on my front. Also because
anymore.
My implants flip round, but. The thing is like, I don't necessarily think that I got the implants because I was like, I want bigger boobs. I feel insecure about my small boobs. I don't even know if it was that. I think it was just like, I don't know if it was a manic thing. Just like, I should spend $8,000 for no fucking reason.
Just get these massive. I mean, massive. When I mean, we were in Vegas, you got all that weird filler stuff.
Yeah.
So
I think there was a slight manic thing to it. And also there was a thing of like, I've been working in Miami and everyone had massive asses and massive tits. And it was just a thing that was very much present in my life and around me. But actually, I wasn't insecure about my small boobs. I was fine with them. And I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I've view my body, this is going to sound a little bit wanky, but view my body as some sort of blank canvas that I have to adorn and decorate and do things to.
Got you.
Because it's like part of the story and it's interesting and it's fun and it's nice to change it up every now and again. So I don't necessarily know that it always comes out of insecurity.
Maybe, and also there is a normalization in our industry and just in general of having plastic surgery mm-hmm. and having enhancements, you know, not even necessarily permanent type things. I don't know. Like I did notice when I was working all the time, I would really be quite hard on myself about my eyes because I've got like quite hooded eyelids. And as I've gotten older, the skin has just sagged more. But when I was around like loads of people who didn't have that, then you start like, do you remember like we would used to, I think every stripper has done this, where you sit at the back of the room and you're just like, ah, look at her legs and her tits and her ass. And you sort of like do this like Franken stripper.
Yeah, put them all together.
Yeah. And you have like the perfect woman. So I think it can become quite easy to get this very skewed view on what you need to look like. And then you realize like nobody fucking notices any of these tiny things that you think about yourself.
And also it's not going to make you a nicer, better person either. And that's really the most important thing. So it just seems like a weird fixation to have on this like physical fucking.
So as approaching 40, I've really let go of that.
Yeah.
Like I really don't care about any of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And in turn, you just end up being more attractive because you're just really comfortable.
Whatever you've got. and you make the best out of it. And it doesn't matter if it's not necessarily the best or what you deem to be the best.
Also, do you remember? So do you remember that like weird plastic gangster guy who used to come into Brown's all the time who had like his like rent-a-mates?
He was so cringe. He was so fucking cringe.
He would just go to everybody's like, yeah, I'm a gangster. And you're like, I mean, if you are a gangster, you should probably stop talking about being a gangster. Yeah. And he had these two guys who were like his security, but they were just like
paid
to be his friends.
To hang out with him. Yeah.
I remember we were like sat there and he went and had like a million dances with this Portuguese woman who worked there. I mean, he probably spent like 600 quid just having dance after dance after dance, came back out. And then he was just sort of watching her as she moved around the room. And then he just looked at me and he went, you know what? She just was like Barry Manilow in a wig. Right? And I was like, but you spent a fortune dancing. And he went, yeah, no, there's something about it. Right? So even somebody who's like actually saying, I'm not attracted to Barry Manilow in a wig, still spent 600 quid on somebody who looks like Barry Manilow in a wig. So, you know, it's really not that important.
So you can use that to your advantage.
I think so.
You got anything weird going on? Like you look like Barry Manilow in a wig. Use it to your advantage. Yeah.
So something that I also think about, right, is at nearly 40 years old, I'm just going to tell everybody I'm 40 now. I think this is...
Yeah, round it up.
Maybe I'm going to say 50, and then they're just going to be like, no way.
I mean, that's not believable.
Let's try. Let's see. It's just when people go, oh, okay. I'm like, fuck you.
I'm not 50. I lied.
Then I look mental. I am in like way better shape now than I ever was in my 20s. Because when I was in my 20s, I was just like, and like, you know, wouldn't exercise. And now like I wake up every morning. I do 2 hours of exercise.
Hours of fucking yoga.
I meditate.
Craziness.
Yeah. I do therapy. I'm like the best version of myself that I could possibly. It's a lot of fucking work.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say that you've got to put that work in. But, you know, so if I was going to give myself like some advice, like if I was 20, it's like if I had started doing that when I was 20, I would have a lot less cool stories. Actually, so
you
I can't
have a lot less cool stories, and that's boring as fuck. So
my diet of champagne, cocaine, and burgers
way more interesting
was did create some funny ass shit. Uh-huh. But you know, as you get older, then you sort of you either decide that you're gonna like lean into being a leaner, better, cooler version of yourself, or you just turn into a fat cunt. I guess I don't know. It's one or the other. But what would be your advice for yourself?
I think if I'm going to be serious,
What's your serious
advice? I don't
really
do serious, but yeah, if I was going to be serious, it would be like, stop being so competitive with yourself.
That's a nice advice.
Because I was always competing with myself. I mean, and people are like on fucking Instagram with their stupid like posts, like, you know, don't compete with others, compete with yourself. No, don't even compete with yourself because you turn into a lunatic. Like I literally did like bodybuilding competitions. I fucking injected loads of shit in my face. I got massive fake boobs. Yeah, you don't need to be that competitive.
I mean, your competition with yourself went hard.
I went in. Jesus.
I mean, your bodybuilding stage was...
That was insane. Yeah.
That was when I met you.
Yeah, I lost my fucking mind.
You tuna fish.
Yeah. I stunk.
You just had like a weird little cans of tuna everywhere with you. It was just like heaven or tuna.
Tuna and peanut butter. Disgusting.
What, together?
So one after the other, but like
in this little competition with yourself, you were just like, so you'd have like a tin of tuna with nothing on it.
Yeah.
And then just like a spoon of peanut butter.
Yeah, basically. Wow. Well, we were at a festival and there wasn't much that I could do in terms of like preparing my food. And I had like 5 meals a day. So instead I just had like 5 tins of tuna and like a whole thing of fucking peanut butter.
I'd advise against that.
Yeah. Don't do that. Don't be competitive with yourself. And also I would tell myself to love my knees. Because you know what? I still haven't had the surgery to change my knees. And I'm not going to do it. I've decided.
Linda Evangelista has come out. She did that exact same surgery and just disfigured her face.
Yeah,
and
she's fat freezing.
Yes,
yeah.
Which is what you were talking about doing.
Oh, no, I was going to just actually take it out.
What, you're just going to take your knees out?
Take my knees out. No, like do liposuction on my knees.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
But I mean, I'm not now.
You've got cute legs.
Don't say it like that.
What was that guy said to you?
He said, I have footballer legs. And I was like really pissed off, but it was also really true. I mean, it still is true to this day.
But you could lean into it. Like during the World Cup, you could have worn like a little football
I actually did for string photos. I did the World Cup
around.
PR for the months, and I was wearing stupid little football socks that just covered my football legs. My little knees.
Do you have shin guards and cleats? Yeah. Stomping around the stage. So there's some advice from yourself. Don't compete with yourself. Love your knees.
Love your knees.
That's good.
Yeah.
I like that.
I think that's good advice.
Yeah. And I'm gonna love my uncircumcised penis eyes. That apparently each year by year just become even more uncircumcised. Do you know that I only ever saw an uncircumcised dick when I moved to the United Kingdom?
That's insane, because I only saw a circumcised dick when I was in Vegas with you. It was the first time.
Oh, yeah.
I've ever seen it.
Fucked a Jewish guy.
Yeah, I did.
But
yeah.
Everybody's circumcised in America. I remember there was one guy.
I didn't understand at first. I was like, what do I do with this? I'm really confused.
You know what? Actually, these days, I mean, this is really segued, but I don't care. We're going to finish on a high. If like a circumcised dick, it's a lot more work.
It's a lot more work because it
takes forever.
Yeah, because it's desensitized, right? Because there's no skin.
Yeah, yeah. And there's no skin. Like, there's no skin to work with. So it was very confusing for me. But anyway, my eyes are becoming less and less circumcised. As a Jewish woman, to have uncircumcised eyes, I don't know how I feel about that. But I'm telling myself to make peace with it.
Now when I look into your eyes, I'm just seeing penises.
Just penis dick in your eyes.
Dick in your eye.
Well, you know we like to leave it on a high, so I'll see you later, Heaven.
Yeah, take care, you and your phallic eyelids.
Cunt. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you haven't already, we would really appreciate you hitting that subscribe button and leaving us a positive review. All show notes and social media links can be found on our website, www.strippersintheattic.com.
This episode was brought to you by House of Vixens, produced by Stephen Armstrong, editing and post-production by Adam Grigg, original music by Myron Cohen and Hart McNee, and our artwork was brought to you by Ben Prescott. Thanks again for listening, everyone. I'm Buffy.
And I'm Heaven.
And together we are
Strippers in the Attic.